It's showtime.
Conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running on this 12th day of March, 2019, only 3 days from the Ides. Yes. And beware the Ides, of course. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us live every night on the interweb tubes. You can also go there for the recurring rerun stream in the hours during which this program isn't live. And there's a tab there called Chat Room, which, if you choose to use it, will take you to the... to your opportunity to join the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the chat room during the hours when the program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And if you jump in there, you'll be immediately greeted by Jimmy from the Great Northwest and Otto and Squeaky, and you'll be capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a Spacing Guild master, and just feeling spring burst out all around him, has folded space to become Man Cave. You'll also be moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Okie dokie. It is Trump-tanic Tuesday, and we have some seriously Trump-tanic intellect to celebrate, if that's the word, yeah. In the next 3 hours, hope we'll cover a lot of Trump-tanic intellect. We send out thanks at the beginning of every program to the people who help keep the program on the air, to our subscribers who account for about a quarter of the funding of the program over the course of any given month. So thanks go out to our buddy Suman. Thank you, Suman, very kindly. Thanks to Mary Bell for being a partial sponsor of the program. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, let's see, Mary Bell was yesterday. But thank you to Suman, and thanks as well to Gary up in New York. Thank you, Gary, very kindly. Thanks to Paul. Thank you, Paul, very much for helping keep this all on the air. Thank you to Mark. We appreciate you, Mark, keeping the lights on and the plates spinning on the sticks. Thank you. As well to Angelica, thank you very much indeed. And those are our sponsors for the 12th. And a reminder, tomorrow, the 13th, is the loneliest sponsorship, the loneliest subscriber day of the month. Courtesy of Greg last night, we know we will have one new subscriber to stand alongside Gary and Gaia. And hopefully maybe some more folks will jump in to be subscribers on the 13th. If you want to do that, what you do is you go over to headon.live and you click contribute and you go from there, okay? As far as keeping everything going here and keeping the bills paid, well, at present, the fundraising goal is $473. Yes, that's $273 remaining from yesterday plus today's $200. So, yeah, I can cipher that far. It's $473. So hopefully we will, gosh, if we could knock down what remained from last week and yesterday. If we could knock down 273, that would be huge. To do the whole thing, well, that's 47 people at $10 a piece. 47 new subscribers. I know. But you gotta, again, dare to dream. So that pretty much sets the table for where we are this evening. And gosh, who's our first Titanic intellect? Well, it would be unfair if it wasn't. Come on, you know. Sorry, but it's unavoidable. It would be unfair if our lead Trump-tanic intellect, blazing full speed ahead toward the iceberg, wasn't in fact Julius Geezer. Now, bear in mind, I'm pretty sure that Julius Geezer has no earthly idea where Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, is. And given and beyond not knowing or where it is, he doesn't care about any of the people who live there because, well, you know, not quite pale enough to be cared about by Julius Geezer. I'm sure he thinks that Ethiopia is one of those shithole countries he was talking about a few months back. But nonetheless, I guess because the plane that crashed was a Boeing, and Boeings are made in the United States, and in particularly, Boeings are sometimes made down there where in the home of the beating heart of the maggot phenomenon. I'm talking, of course, about South Carolina Stan. He felt some need to express his opinion about why the Boeing 737 MAX fell out of the sky and killed all 157 people on board. Now, his remarks came as more and more countries are grounding that plane, seeing how two of them have crashed, Lion Air in Indonesia and Ethiopian Air near Addis Ababa. So they're grounded in China. They're grounded in Indonesia. They're grounded in Malaysia. They're grounded in Singapore. They're grounded in Australia. And they're grounded in the UK. All those countries have essentially closed their airspace to that apparently troubled aircraft. The EU will be following in fairly short order. And kind of everybody but the United States. I had a note from David in South Carolina, Stan, who noted that parts, as I had suggested last night, parts of that aircraft are in fact manufactured in South Carolina by non-union workers and by workers who are paid substandard wages. I mean, maybe they're great wages for South Carolina, but they're not the same kind of wages that a union aircraft worker gets paid elsewhere. The FAA, which, of course, is hamstrung by virtue of the fact that it operates at the will and pleasure of Julius Geezer, says, no plans to ground these planes in the U.S. There'll be some design changes, like maybe next month. And, well, if you're on one of the less than 75 737 MAX 8s and 9s that are presently operating in the U.S., well, you know, Godspeed and good luck and hope for the best. Thoughts and prayers. And the FAA, meanwhile, says, yeah, we got no idea why they're crashing. So, yeah. Because, you know, just because other countries are grounding an aircraft for because two of them have fallen out of the sky and killed more than 200 people, well, what the hell? I'm sure that won't happen in Merca, because maybe we get the good planes and we sell the shitty ones around the way. No, I don't think it's supposed to work that way, do you? Nonetheless, before I get completely far afield, Julius Geezer has his own sort of ideas about why it may have happened. You might want to get the hockey puck for this. We're early in the program, but it's Trump-tanic Tuesday, and we're headed right for the iceberg, and just bite down real good, because otherwise you'll start hooting like a barn owl and people will worry about you. Airplanes are becoming far too complex to fly. Pilots are no longer needed, but rather a computer scientist from MIT. I see it all the time in many products, always seeking to go one unnecessary step further when often old and simpler is far better. Split-second decisions are needed, and the complexity creates danger. All of this for greater cost, yet very little gain. I don't know about you, but I don't want Albert Einstein to be my pilot. I want great flying professionals that are allowed to easily and quickly take control of a plane. Ouch. That's a painful degree of stupid. Damn nation. So what's he saying here? We would be better. He thinks we should be flying Sopwith camels? Fokker triplanes, perhaps?
It was good enough for the Red Baron, and he shot down Snoopy all those many times. It should be good enough for the... I prefer that, and I don't want Albert Einstein flying my plane.
Well, good for you. Good. Yeah, no, really. Albert Einstein's dead, and Albert Einstein wasn't a pilot. Now, sort of to Geezer Disgustus's point, I can remember as far back as the 80s, I worked with a guy who, among other things, collected NTSB reports on crashes, and he was a real... aficionado of aircraft, and he said eventually they'll put so many computer. The goal is to eventually have an airplane that is flown with a dog and a human in the cockpit. The purpose will be for the computer on the plane to fly it, and the dog will growl at the human if he tries to touch the controls, and the human's job will be to feed the dog. And I touched on that a little bit last night, the concept of fly-by-wire. But it's not a matter of just... God damn, he's stupid. It's not that they're just putting stuff in there to see if it works or spend more money. The purpose is to make planes more likely to remain in the air as opposed to fall out of it. Maybe he wants us flying around in C-47s or something like that. God almighty. Vanity Fair writes, no one seems to know what Trump is getting at here other than his obsessive nostalgia for the good old days when men were men, women were women, stewardesses were appreciative of a pinch on the ass, and, checks notes, planes used to crash a lot more. But
he's a geezer. We call him Julius Geezer, and geezer disgusts us because geezer is a word that very, take away the word very, that expertly describes him. He's also President Dunning-Kruger effect. The Dunning-Kruger effect, famous for that phenomenon wherein a person can be so clueless that they don't know what they don't know. It's not a bad thing to not know things. That's the purpose of education. But people who seek education know that they don't know things. I think the example I used last night was the calculus. I know I don't know the calculus. So if I ever decided to study the calculus, I would do so with full knowledge that I was a blank slate and completely ignorant of its operation. The Dunning-Kruger effect, on the other hand, describes a person like Trump who doesn't know that he doesn't know the calculus. He could look at his alphabets floating in his morning cereal and think that he's working calculus equations. And that right there is dangerous.
I've hereby ordered the United States Air Force to stop flying jets. They're too complicated. And we will have a massive air force of Sopwith camels.
We're screwed. Of course, this is the same guy who thinks that we have an invisible aircraft like Wonder Woman. Not that it's designed, no, it's not a plane that's designed so that it is invisible to radar. He thinks it's really invisible. In other words, if you could harness up a pilot to one of those flying harnesses like they use in theater productions and stuff, and you could just suspend him in air, looking as though he were seated, and he worked some imaginary controls, and Donald Trump saw him, he would think that that guy was sitting in our invisible airplane, because he is that absolutely fucking stupid. I know it's not exactly breaking news, but the President of the United States is a stupid man. He's not ignorant. He was given, goddamn, he was born rich. He was given every opportunity in the world to learn as much as he possibly wanted. He was sent to the University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League school. And he was just incurious. Didn't care. All sucked up inside himself and full of himself and mostly just interested in trying to, I guess, get laid. It does not. No, it does not bode well. And he's got a hang up with Albert Einstein. It was about, well, it was about 10 months ago. No. It was about 22 months ago. In May of 2017, when he got into it talking about how the Navy plans to launch ships from aircraft carriers in the future.
You know, the catapult is quite important. So I said, what is this? Sir, this is our digital catapult system. He said, well, we're going to this because we wanted to keep up with modern technology. I said, you don't use steam anymore for catapult? No, sir, I said.
And how is it working? Sir, not good. Not good. Doesn't have the power. You know, the steam is just brutal. You see that sucker going and steam's going all over the place. There's planes thrown in the air. It sounded bad to me. Digital. They have digital. What is digital? And it's very complicated. You have to be Albert Einstein to figure it out. And I said, and now they want to buy more aircraft carriers. I said, what system are you going to be? Sir, we're staying with digital. I said, no, you're not. You're going to goddamn steam. The digital costs hundreds of millions of dollars more money, and it's no good. Maybe we're just numb to it now. Maybe it just doesn't goddamn matter. He's a fucking moron, and we just take it at that, and we hope for the best. At least those of us who aren't out having a conniption over Nancy Pelosi saying she's not interested in impeachment. I'm still okay with her saying that. I'm okay with it. Because in a perfect world, he would have been impeached the minute his hand came off the Bible. But because he had a Republican Congress, they were able to play out 2 years' worth of clock. Oh, I know. Les says, Jesus fucking Christo, the stupid, it burns like Buckley's. This hump wouldn't know the difference between a Max 8 and the 757 he owns. Ain't that the truth? Hung Like Jesus wants to know, was that an actual conversation? It was a conversation that he reported having had with an admiral of our Navy. You're going to use goddamn steam. Well, you know, a steam catapult was pretty much the match, although it was challenged. There was a challenge to it. The aircraft carriers of the World War II era flung prop-driven aircraft off the deck and hopefully up to, you know, up past stall speed so that, you know, it worked. And those weren't the fighter planes, the torpedo bombers, the dive bombers. Those were not small aircraft. But compared to a modern jet, they were Piper Cubs. Eventually, you reach the far end of what you can do with a steam catapult. You're going to stay with goddamn steam. The digital's too expensive. You know, like he's pricing, I don't know, but like he's pricing a goddamn sofa. No, you're going to have the fabric. We're not getting the leather. The leather's too goddamn expensive, and you can't steam clean it. So, yeah, that was an actual conversation, Hung. It's terrifying, isn't it? Hey, good news. Our buddy Philip and Balmer. See, I've been taught by people from the read. I have to use to say Balmer. Philip and Balmer has gotten us started. That takes us down to $458 to go this evening. Thanks very much, Philip, and hopefully we will. You'll have some company here before too awfully long. $458 to go. Philip asks, how does he think those F-35 jets go invisible? They use digital. This guy is levels beyond stupid. No, it's not digital. Digital is terrible. They've got digital. It's so expensive. What they do, I saw the cartoon, you know, when Bugs Bunny rubs on the vanishing cream and he vanishes. And you can only see him again when the mad scientist pours the hair restorer on him, you know, H-A-R-E, hair. It's just vanishing cream. It's secret, tops, double secret probation vanishing cream that the Air Force and the Navy have. Oh, Jesus. Where? Uh-oh, gimmick infringement. Ron's not going to be pleased. Bob, says Silent R. Lamar. You need to be careful when using an airplane with the name Camel in it, because Trump will think you're talking camel with wings flying over the desert, like in the cartoon. Oh, yeah, it's probably best he doesn't listen to this program, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But that's just a starting place. That's all. Just a starting place. And then this. We've had an ongoing controversy in the West Virginia State Legislature over the revisions to water quality standards. Industry wants to be able to put whatever poison it wants into the water, and we can damn well lump it. And there are some of us out here who believe, well, who know, fuck believing, who know that human beings need clean water in order to survive. But when it comes to West Virginia, there's not a lot of respect among industry leaders for the people who live and work here. You might recall it was several years ago when, after the birth defect study about mountaintop removal was released, that showed that we have horrifyingly elevated levels of birth defects in West Virginia, that the National Mining Association, through its pet lobbying law firm, Cowell Mooring, in Washington, D.C., issued a press release that said that the birth defect study, and they even misspelled the word, the birth defect study was invalid because it didn't take in West Virginians' consanguinity. C-O-N-S-A-N-Q-U-I-N-I-T-Y. Consanguinity. What they meant was consanguinity with a G, not a Q. And what they meant by that was that we have birth defects in West Virginia because hillbillies can't help fucking their close kinfolk. You know, incest. Mm-hmm. Well, that was pretty much the benchmark standard for industrial disdain for the people of West Virginia until this came along. In November, the West Virginia Manufacturers Association asked the Joint Rulemaking Review Committee not to implement the new standards. Because the new standards would have allowed less pollution in West Virginia's waterways. The news report said, continued, they, meaning the West Virginia Manufacturers Association, they argue that the EPA encourages states to incorporate state-specific science and that because, wait for this, I hope the you didn't take out the hockey puck because this one's, if you don't have the tape around good and snug, you're going to shoot it through a plate glass window and then that'll be a mess. They argue that the EPA encourages states to incorporate state-specific science. I don't know what the state-specific science is. I mean, I always thought that the way you calculated the weight of a falling mass was pretty much an equation that was established in physics, and it works in Poughkeepsie as well as it works in Fraser's Bottom, as well as it works in Oxnard or Cucamonga. But apparently not. Apparently, the mass of 1 gram is not the same in left-hand West Virginia as it is in Dubuque, Iowa. At least according to the West Virginia Manufacturers Association. They argue that the EPA encourages states to incorporate state-specific science and that because West Virginians are heavier, their bodies can handle more pollutants, and that because they drink less water, they are less exposed to the pollutants. They have commissioned a worker to gather that state-specific information. Yes, we're too fat and drunk to be able to be poisoned by industrial chemicals in our water. It's like the old gag about W.C. Fields. Hey, Fields, you want a drink of water? Hell no! Fish fucking that! Yeah, we don't drink so much water. Yeah, mostly we drink moonshine. Yeah, but here's the problem. To make the moonshine, you gotta have some water. So, you know, your moonshine's gonna wind up tainted.
Yeah, he said tainted. He said taint.
But that's, you know, that's really how they think. Oh, well, don't worry about West Virginians. They're some big old fat sons of bitches, and they're drunk anyway. They won't even know they poisoned in the first place, so why we gotta have standards that say we can't go on dumping as much poison in the water as we used to? It was working. It was working fine as it was. Bunch of fucking liberals wanting clean water, goddamn snowflakes. But if that's not Titanic intellect, I don't know what the hell is. Yeah. Because West Virginians are heavier, their bodies can handle more pollutants. And because they drink less water, they are less exposed to the pollutants. Pardon me, I had to mute the mic while I had a conniption. Because that, as my old buddy from Southern West Virginia used to say, beats cats fucking. Because industrial pollutants in water are measured in, like, parts per billion because they are so toxic. And so, even if on average West Virginians are 100 pounds heavier than other Americans, that still doesn't mean that you can go from 4 parts per billion to 1.5 ounces per gallon and we'll be okay. And, of course, this all works hand-in-hand with the subject of the AKE campaign, with which I'm involved, which is focused on the fact that the airborne pollutants, for which there are no standards, the airborne pollutants from mountaintop removal operations, cause us, even though we're heavier and drunker, we still die a lot quicker, to the tune of more than 900 statistical excess deaths in West Virginia's mountaintop removal counties every year. That is at about the rate of, that's one 9/11 every 3.5 years. That's a hell of a thing. Randy says, I believe the exact quotation from Fields is, I never drink water because of the disgusting things that fish do in it. Disgusting fish. Yeah, Hung Like Jesus points out, wow, and West Virginia is a mostly white state. They usually save this kind of fuckery for the black folk. Well, see, white privilege in Appalachia is often negated by hillbilly antipathy. Yeah, what's that, Reverbo? Yeah, Reverbo, the human boy, says, hell, y'all can probably handle radiation poisoning, too. we're left with the conclusion that hillbillies will still be around after the rest of us are gone. Well, and you know what? We may just be that cussed, but it doesn't look that way, because the state is still being depopulated. There is an aspect of what's done by a mountaintop removal that smells an awful lot like genocide. Fact. So that's a place And by the way, since we, you know, it shows no sign of letting up, and by it I mean the phenomenon of Ilhan Omar, Bruga, Bruga, Bruga. Ilhan Omar, Bruga, Bruga, Bruga. And because people like Liz Cheney, daughter of Count Dicula, because she voted against the resolution condemning anti-Semitism because it also condemned anti-Islam bigotry. I mean, she was perfectly willing to condemn anti-Semitism, but she reserves the right to engage in all the anti-Islamic bigotry she wants to because Jesus. Well, I could have saved this for tomorrow, but it really fits. It's such a magnificent demonstration of Titanic intellect that it kind of fits today, too. No, it doesn't kind of fit. It fits perfectly. Don't hang out waiting for Republicans to get all upset at this one. But we usually hear from our Rick Wiles, and I keep thinking he's the one with Gator the dog that barks at the demon infested blow up spiders. Not sure, though. It could be. You know, there's so many of these Lulus. But he works hard to say outrageous things because that's how you get ahead in the tax-exempt, non-profit world of right-wing religion industry grift. And so, you know, anti-Semitism. The practice of being bigoted against Jewish people for having been born Jewish. They have no problem seeing that in Ilhan Omar saying it's all about the Benjamins and quoting a P. Diddy song. But somehow or another, they can spot the mote in everyone else's eyes, but they're completely oblivious to the beam that is within their own. See, let's just see. It's kind of difficult, but pay attention and discern the spirits and see if you can hear the anti-Semitism in this clip from Rick Wiles, pastor, man of God, follower of the Prince of Peace, that Rick Wiles.
The power of the Israeli lobby in America is the most detrimental force in America. Our culture has been decimated.
Yes.
Through abortion, pornography, the sexual liberation movement, filthy, raunchy movies, television shows, vile, violent rap music and hip hop and all
pop
owned.
Music? Oh, this.
Now, hold on. He starts out saying the Israel lobby, and then he starts cataloging these, to him, manifestations of America's sinfulness. And he's saying that the Israel lobby is who forced America to get all homosexual and have abortions and make dirty movies and say bad things and cuss and swear and not go to Sunday school no more and not give money, not give all the money to the preachers. Do I have it right? Because it sounds like he's blaming the Israel lobby for all the, for that catalog of sins that he just rattled off there.
It's all of it owned by the synagogue of Satan.
Yes.
And I cannot be a preacher of the gospel and not confront the synagogue of Satan.
Synagogue. Not temple. Not church. Not cathedral. Synagogue. Give him a day or so and he'll create a mosque of Satan too, but it, no. The synagogue of Satan. Wonder if anybody at the ADL has heard this clip. Is there a scale of anti-Semitism out there? Can something be more anti-Semitic? Can one statement be more anti-Semitic than another? Because this is halfway to Hitler right here, this stuff is.
Even if it costs me my life.
Right.
That day is coming. Christians are going to lose their lives as they confront the synagogue of Satan. You cannot stand for Jesus Christ and righteousness in this world without confronting the synagogue of Satan. Here's what we got in America, right? So we have conservative Christian patriots who are concerned about abortion, the murder of 70 million babies, okay? We have conservative Christian patriots who are concerned about the destruction of the Constitution. We have conservative Christian patriots who are concerned about
the
gun rights and Second Amendment. We have...
You know what's interesting? In that little list there of things that conservative Christian patriots are concerned about, there's none of the stuff that Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi actually says Christians are supposed to be concerned with over in Matthew chapter 25. You know, clothing the naked, housing the homeless, feeding the hungry, visiting the sick, healing the sick, visiting those in prison. Nope. In fact, Christian patriots being worried about gun rights is downright the antithesis of everything he was more or less about. Put up thy sword into his place, for him that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. That applies to firearms, too.
Conservative, patriotic Christians who are concerned about the attack on parental rights, the attack on property rights, and on and on and on, okay?
Property rights, really? Because the aforementioned day laborer said, give everything, sell everything you have to give the money to the poor and follow me. At which point you really don't have any property rights because you don't have any property.
So it's like this. They're all in a living room. And the living room is piling up with elephant dung. And the elephant dung is getting higher and higher and higher. And everybody's griping about the elephant crap.
Mm-hmm. But not about the elephant.
Wait, wait. It's been a good 80 years since we had a full-on campaign somewhere on the planet of people comparing Jews to feces. But I think Rick Wiles just compared Jews to elephant feces. Wowzer. I scoured Twitter looking to see if anybody was out there. You know, I checked some of your more noteworthy defenders of conservative freedom out there. Didn't see anybody tweeting about this guy and his synagogue of Satan bullshit. I mean, I tweeted it. But... No, there no denunciations from the maggots. None at all.
But you can't talk about the elephant.
Oh, wow.
You're not allowed to mention the elephant. And somebody says, hey, why don't we get the elephant under control and this crap would leave? And you're not allowed to talk about it. Well, who's crapping on the country? Who's crapping in this country?
The Jews, right? Oh, Henry, Billy, it's the Jews, I tell you, it's the Jews.
Who has brought the abortion, the homosexuality, the sexual liberation movement, the vile movies.
Who has
attacked our Christian culture? Who has filed lawsuits to remove crosses and Bibles? Who has done it? The synagogue of Satan.
That ain't even a dog whistle anymore. A dog whistle's something that only the dogs can hear. He's saying that for everybody. And granted, he's probably desperate for the attention so he can fundraise off of it and you know, get on his pogo stick and leap up onto the cross and declare that he's being persecuted. But the dude has just blamed everything that he hates on Jewish people. And a synagogue of Satan.
And you cannot be a preacher in this country and refuse to deal with the truth and then stand someday in front of God and say that you preach the gospel. You cannot do it.
Except for the fact that, well, none of that's in the gospels. There's nothing in the gospels about the right to keep and arm bears. I mean, there's a bear in the Old Testament who God sends to tear some children into tiny little pieces because they made fun of a prophet's bald spot, but that's about all you get for bears in the Bible. There's no Second Amendment in the Bible.
You know, Peter had a sword.
Yeah, he told him to put it the fuck away, too. But he wants to tell preachers what they have to... And this is in the nature of theocracy and evangelicalism. They want to tell preachers what they have to preach. Because, see, there's probably not a lot of Episcopalian priests out there preaching this filth. Probably precisely zero Unitarians out there preaching this filth. Unitarians kind of shy away from preaching generally, but yeah. What's that, Todd? Todd says, uh-oh, now you don't give a damn.
We're reaching the point in time when you have to confront the synagogue of Satan. It is what it is.
What happens, though, and we get these comments, you're anti-Semitic, Rick. You're anti-Semitic.
No, I'm anti-Satan.
Yeah, you're anti-Semitic. No, I'm anti-Satan. And so with one last little shot there, he equated the Jews with Satan. The Jews. It gets a little confusing after a while, I have to confess, as Brother Deacon Asa pointed out. One, I didn't know rap music was from Israel. Two, Donald Trump is owned by the Jews. That's the way that Lewis Black pronounces it. Yeah. There we go. Sure. Why not? By the way, but since we're kind of on the topic, what's that? Scott in San Diego. Property rights, Bob? These modern-day Christ killers are awfully goddamn fixated on the stuff, usually at the expense of all the kinds of folks Jesus told us to be mindful of. Oh, and then there's Matthew 6:19 and 6:20. Lay not up for yourselves, from the King James Version, because God spoke Elizabethan English. It's so much more elegant. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Scott says, here's the deal. If Jesus were to come back this Sunday and stroll into virtually any GOP congregation in America, the rush of deacons and ushers climbing over one another in a mad scramble to get to the phone on the back wall to call Home Depot and order up lumber, nails, and thorns, you know, thorns for the crown. Yeah, there'd be a stampede. Steve in New York says, I'm extremely confused. I thought the Muslims were Satan and the usurpers and so forth. Yeah, I'm confused. Well, and as well you should be. I can't keep up either. But one of those things, you know, that feed the poor part, well, they're not having any of it down in Talabama. No. Down in Talabama, State Representative Tommy Haynes, a Republican, of course, has introduced legislation that says nobody can have supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits, you know, what we used to call food stamps, unless they take and pass a drug test. The legislation says if there is reasonable suspicion that someone is taking illegal substances. Now, far be it from me, but I'm guessing that in a place like Talabama, being black, for instance, would be reasonable suspicion that somebody's out there smoking the marijuanas. No. Reasonable suspicion would include things like the person having a conviction for the use or distribution of a drug without a prescription within 5 years of the date of the application for SNAP benefits. So then they have to take the piss test, and if they don't have a valid prescription and it comes back positive, they'd be warned. And then they'd test them again, and if they failed again, they wouldn't get food stamps for a year. And then a third strike means you're permanently ineligible to be helped to have food by we, the people of the United States of America, working on forming that more perfect union. Right. Here's the funny thing. No one in Alabama, at least no Republican, they have a supermajority in both houses, has introduced a bill suggesting that it might be a good idea for Tommy Haynes to take a blood test. No. Sorry. Don't work like that. By the way, just in case you think that Talabama is all by its lonesome out there, Kentucky has taken a run at this too. And by the way, the people taking the drug test are the ones who have to pay for the drug test, even though it's being required as a funded. Right. And by the way, just in case anybody's wondering, Alabama could not, if it absolutely had to, could not provide nutrition assistance for all the people in Talabama who need nutrition assistance. No. These people are, some Alabama, they're throwing a conniption over a 10-cent gasoline tax, as we discussed last night. And by the way, while we're at it, let's note something. I generally oppose things like gas taxes because they are regressive in nature. Any tax that, like a tax at the pump, has a more pernicious and negative impact on poor people than it does on the rich, because it is a larger proportion of the available pool of income that poor people have. So it lands on them harder. An enlightened state might make up budget shortfalls via taxation of a progressive nature. The more you have, the more you pay. That is not going to happen in Talabama. Oh, no. Oh, no. So those SNAP benefits that this jackass wants to curtail by use. And remember, that's the point, is to curtail access to the benefits. It's not to prevent people from using drugs. I mean, Jesus Christ, the marijuanas are known to make people hungry. But those benefits that he wants to constrain and curtail aren't even his money or the state's money. It's federal money that they ought not be able to tie strings to. But it goes hand in glove with things that the Chlamydia Claudius administration has itself wanted. Among other things, the Tangerine Tiberius wanted drug testing in the SNAP benefits portion of the Farm Bill. He failed in that regard. It didn't slow him down, though, because this past February, just bare weeks ago, they released a proposed rule that would affect some 755,000 Americans who receive food assistance and make it less likely that they would get it over the course of 3 years. Quote, consistent with the administration's focus on fostering self-sufficiency. And it would affect so-called able-bodied adults without dependents aged 18 to 49. And the Labor Department is, of course, and by the way, the Labor Department run by a labor secretary who was intimately involved in crafting a sweetheart deal for Jeffrey Epstein when he was a U.S. attorney in Miami, that guy. The Labor Department wants to make it easier for states to drug test a far larger group of unemployment compensation applicants than the previous rule permitted. Public comment on that rule closed in January. How about that? Yeah. Full speed ahead. In that coming world with nothing but hillbillies in it, David in South Carolina, Stan says, survivors will include ramen, peeps, and cockroaches. Adding, drug tests? How about those welfare checks going to farmers? Are those farmers taking drug tests? When? Well, how about the welfare checks that go to places like Amazon? Has Jeff Bezos been drug tested? He gets corporate welfare. Have the CEOs of the major oil companies been drug tested? Because they get a lot of welfare. They're not so much welfare monarchs, kings or queens. They're more like welfare emperors and empresses. Right, Randy in PA points out, fully one-third of my Pennsylvania landline phone bill is taxes and fees. Again, which have a disproportionately negative impact on people whose income is limited. So, the war on poor continueth. Going back to Rick Wiles, our buddy Arnold says, this is over the top. Wow. He's probably sponsored by Israel. Indirectly or directly, sure. Probably, possibly. So that's a pretty good start, I'd say, for this Trump-tanic Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And again, we have $458 to go to close the fundraising gap. And let's talk a little bit more. I'd like your input about this, the idea of an equipment fundraiser to try to make it possible for me to do a little broadcasting while I'm gone during the first 11 days of April in D.C. Let me know, please. Because I added it up, and between the one gizmo and a laptop of sufficient processing power to run it, we're talking about a $1,600 fundraiser for equipment. Still good on microphones and cables and stuff, but New Orleans taught me a lot about the limited capacity of our current stuff. I can work with it here because, like, the laptop I work with doesn't have to have that much processing power because it's only doing a couple of things. It would have to do a lot more in a remote situation. So, $458 and $1,600. Again, let me know. I'm figuring that the gizmo being $900, $600 would get us a laptop with a decent either AMD or Intel quad core chip in it, and enough memory to keep all the balls in the air at the same time. Okay, so being as how it's a Tuesday, we've got the Green News Report coming from Brad and Desi. I always look forward to those. Let's see what's going on in their world.
It's Tuesday, March 12, 2019.
Youth organizations are calling for an unprecedented strike this week, in which students from around 40 countries are expected to participate.
Actually now, teens from 90 countries around the world plan global day of strikes for climate action. Trump formally nominates oil and gas lobbyists to head the Interior Department. Wyoming's coal industry gets a bailout. Plus,
we're not going to bring about serious political change in this country until we deal with the media.
Bernie Sanders, right in 1989 about media coverage of climate change in 2018.
All of that rightness and wrongness straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Nothing is more extreme than the Democrats' plan to completely destroy America's economy through their new $100 trillion Green New Deal.
$100 trillion? As long as you're making stuff up, why not 100 gabillion, quadrillion, gazillion dollars? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, a new oil and gas guy is being installed at Interior?
Yes, pretty much. Environmental and conservation groups are condemning President Trump's formal nomination of Deputy Interior Secretary David Bernhardt to replace the scandal-plagued Ryan Zinke as the agency's chief. Bernhardt is a former lobbyist for the fossil fuel and mining industries. He will gain authority, if confirmed, over which companies receive federal contracts and permits to extract natural resources from the public's lands. In a statement, environmental law group Earth Justice said, quote, Bernhardt's client roster reads like a who's who of the worst corporate polluters in the United States.
So we now have a coal lobbyist who heads the EPA. We will soon have an oil and gas lobbyist heading Interior.
Yep.
If this swamp gets any more drained, I don't know what we're going to do.
Meanwhile, in Wyoming, a bailout handout for failing coal-fired power plants that can no longer compete on the market with cleaner, cheaper natural gas and renewables. Wyoming's Republican Governor Mark Gordon and its Republican majority state legislature just passed a new law that blocks the state's electric utilities from closing their uneconomic coal plants and then requires them to sell the plant instead and then buy the electricity from from their old coal plant, even when a cheaper energy source is available.
Sounds a lot like socialism to me, just saying. And where were the Republicans who used to complain that we couldn't use renewables because it required government subsidies?
And by the way, the higher costs get passed on to ratepayers. Montana state lawmakers are also considering a bailout for coal. Now, here's a blast from the past. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders on C-SPAN in 1989 warning that the corporate media was failing to cover climate change.
One would think that the CBSs and the NBCs of the world would be doing prime time specials on these programs, having different scientists talking about the issues, involving people in understanding what's going on in terms of our planet. They don't. So I would say that we're not going to bring about serious political change in this country until we deal with the media.
Well, Bernie Sanders was right as he was talking about what he called the greenhouse effect back in 1989, and he is still right, sadly enough, 30 years later.
Yes, he is. This week, a new analysis by Media Matters finds that broadcast media coverage of climate change actually fell in 2018 compared to 2017, despite 2018 being marked by historic extreme weather events that were intensified by man-made global warming. The broadcast TV news outlets' coverage of climate change dropped 45% from 2017 levels. Nearly a third of that came from just one episode of Meet the Press focused on climate change. And less than 20% of that dismal coverage included solutions. So that means that Americans not only aren't hearing about the consequences of climate change, they're also not hearing about the solutions on their own public airwaves.
Shameful.
But they do note that that is changing in 2019 thanks to the Green New Deal introduced by Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Finally, the climate strike movement, inspired by Swedish teen climate activist Greta Thunberg, is going global. On Friday, March 15th, kids in more than 90 countries around the world, including here in the United States, will walk out of school in a global day of action to demand their governments mobilize to address man-made climate change. At a rally in Belgium last week, Thunberg explained that kids are striking because they must act to protect their own future.
For way too long, the politicians and the people in power have gotten away with not doing anything to fight the climate crisis. And we will make sure that they will not get away with it anymore. We are striking because we have done our homework and they have not.
Incredible. One teen decides to stay home from school and now it's become a global movement.
Yep.
Good for Greta Thunberg. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over, so we put our hands up like the ceiling can.
And so we are into the second hour of this Trump-tanic Tuesday, and we'll begin it with a note from Scott, subject line, piss tests. Now hold on a goddamn the pusher man minute, Bob. This plan to stop welfare benefits, or other forms of free rides for the right-wing taxation system scamsters may just have distinct possibilities. We could turn the U.S. economy around if there were mandatory tests required for every right-wing 504c3 think tank at 501c3, I think, and other low or no taxed organizations just from the manufacturing of piss test kits. Hell, Bob, dead towns all over middle America would go back to reopening closed factories or building brand new ones and running 8-hour shifts a day just to come up with enough piss tests for the people who really need a good piss testing. Mm-hmm. That could, well, I mean, and consider, you know, if we piss tested every member of every legislature of every state, every governor, every Supreme Court justice, every circuit court judge, and every member of the House, the Congress, the Supreme Court, every cabinet secretary, we could piss test America to freedom and prosperity. Yes. maybe we should think about this. Well, no, because we're not going to piss test those people. Those people aren't wanting the United States, we the people, to help them eat. So, you know, fuck off, right? Yeah. Hey, thank you very kindly to Charlene, a member of the sorority of Lean, and a fellow traveler in Tracy's Society of Rocks. And Charlene just knocked us down to only 4:08 to go this evening. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you so much. Now there's Philip and Charlene and maybe a little more company, and the next thing you know, maybe we're out of this hole. And I was, during the Green News Report, I was typing with Brother Deacon Asa a little bit, and he said, no way are you going to get a decent computer you can take on the road for $600 to run the kind of stuff that I know you have to run. So if we do it, we'll just put up an even $2,000 fundraising goal, and that'll get the gizmo and the laptop to run it. And then we'll be set equipment-wise, hopefully, for Philly in July. Yeah. Hey, let's pick up where we left off last night with Todd. What do you think? Yeah, let's do that. Hey, Todd.
Yo.
I mean,
I'm sorry. That's totally inappropriate. You know, Bob, you have, let me say this. Anyone who's listening to this program who has any influence should be listening closely, because you are intelligently and insightfully approaching a topic that people are scared to talk about. And you're doing it in a respectful way. And that's what it's about. It's about respect. You know, this is complicated.
Continue.
I mean, Okay. So because I'm just curious. I still haven't heard anyone mention Zionism in the media. And I don't want to be like Alex Jonesy, but I'm just saying.
Todd, you're not going to. Because
that's a fucking problem.
Well, it is. I mean, the fact of the matter is, and it is easier for an Israeli to discuss Israeli policies than it is for an American to, especially in the media. Because, this isn't, there's no anti-Semitism involved with this. To critique the Israeli government is to invite the wrath of, yes, AIPAC. I mean, there are other groups out there like J Street who will tell you straight up that AIPAC, will destroy you if you get on the wrong side of them. They've done
it
in the past. They will pour all kinds of money into political campaigns to get a friendly in there if they perceive that you're not one.
I'm so glad you're broaching the subject. And you, like I said, you're a brave soul. This is people we need. But see, apparently, I don't know. I was talking with some. I had some cousins coming from out of town, from out of state this past weekend, and we had some wonderful discussions. And one of my cousins is a retired federal judge, and look, his lifestyle. He's like, oh, you were a judge. Okay, that's cool. You know what I mean? So he's that kind of judge, you know. But people are not, I feel unable to talk about the facts. Let's take our emotions out of this. These are facts. And I like the way you keep saying it's the government. It's not the people. It's not Jews. It's the government of Israel. It's the people who are ruling. See, Americans need to understand, just like here, we have a minority of folks who are living the right places and vote the right way, and are controlling our country because of our Electoral College. Now, they don't have, obviously, they don't have an Electoral College, but the point is that a minority of people who are religious zealots are controlling the country. And it's the same thing in Israel. And you don't have to believe me. Just read their newspapers. Most Israelis don't agree with this shit. Netanyahu, he's just...
Well, enough of them agree with it that they've kept him in power and that Likud bunch for a very long time. But you're right. I mean, I read on a fairly regular basis. I read Haaretz and sometimes the Jerusalem Post. And there is a much broader range of opinion in that country than is allowed to exist in this one.
There is, and let's look at cannabis. Now, they do some of they were on the forefront of wonderful cannabis research in terms of how cannabis affects the human body. You know, so it's not. You know, when we're talking about these things, people had to get beyond. We've been so I was brainwashed. And I don't know if you remember, like I told you, year in boarding school, my roommate was a Hasidic Jew who lived in a kibbutz. And not only that, I mean, as a teenager, not only that, before he got there, he went to NEMA, New York Military Academy, where Trump went. Okay, because that was in our circuit of boarding schools, Cornwall on Hudson. And, you know, and I've counted it up. I mean, I've been there at least 18 times because I played 3 sports, you know, and usually you go there 2 or 3 times a season for each sport.
What'd you play? I just got to know, what'd you play?
Tennis, basketball, soccer.
Cool.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, our instructors, the students, we couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. It's an awful fucking place. And it's basically a dressed-up reform school. When these people say he went to prep school, he went to fucking reform school.
Well, yeah, that school was for kids who were wealthy enough not to be sent to reform school, but needed a reform school atmosphere.
You said it. You know, you said a lot of things perfectly last night, but I just got, you know, I was just flabbergasted. You stated so many things last night perfectly. Yes, right. So you had that faction. Then you had the faction. This is why he doesn't like Puerto Ricans. Because back then, like if you look at these old movies from the 30s and shit, people going to Sing Sing. Sing Sing wasn't far from there. That's called Austin. And it's on, I believe it's on Route 9. Wasn't far from the school I went to. I mean, I remember passing it all the time. There's the women's prison on the right, on the left-hand side, and the men's prison is on the right. So when they say Sing Sing, it's called Austin. That's the prison. But my point is that when they say you're going upstate, if you live in New York, right, at that time, if you got in trouble, they would say, okay, you're going to go to juvie or we're going to send you to reform school. That was the reform school. So you had a lot of Puerto Rican kids up there. That's one of the reasons he didn't like Puerto Rico, because they were there with him. Not only that, but he got in trouble with them when he was in Queens with knives and shit like that. But This place is, and they accepted children. Like, I mean, when I went to boarding school, I was a teen. You know, I was half grown, you know. I mean, come on, I was like 15. But he went younger grades. Ugh. In a military, it smelled like piss. And, it's all about, like, you know, typical military shit. Hazing, all that kind of bullshit.
I mean, you've actually been there.
I've been there. I'm not making it... Man, I've been there. Like I said, countless times. I had to count that shit up so many times. And I'm going to my high school reunion soon, man. I'm gonna be up there soon. We're gonna have our fucking reunion. But yeah, it was disgusting. And I'm telling you, they would pee in our locker room. They would cheat. Oh, it was just a terrible. And of course, I'm coming from a Quaker school, but you know, it was a terrible place. So you know, this all factors into this person. This organism's psyche, you know, and don't get me started with this shit. I'm gonna try to stay on topic. We're talking about we have to parse out. See, where is there going to be a forum where people can talk about parsing out these different issues of ethnicity, religion.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, it's the part of what drives me crazy is the double standard. I mean, mm-hmm. we're in what, week three of Ilhan Omar Bruga.
Yep.
And you heard the clip that I just played from Rick Wiles. Synagogue of Satan.
What the fuck?
And this guy is using his tax-free status to spread that kind of hate.
Man, look, don't watch it now. It's not Wednesday. But yeah, I'm just fucking. Yeah. So this is how convoluted and screwed up things are. And I'm trying not to curse because I think it detracts from the message, even though I can curse like a motherfucker when I feel it. We have to get to a place. And see, I believe in bookends. When I say bookend, I believe in philosophical bookends. And I will frame it like this. Malcolm X was a bookend for the civil rights movement because he wasn't as the middle of the road as Martin Luther King. Okay? So that showed people, well, you can get with this or you can get with that. Right? This is how it could go, or you can deal with King. So, and you know, and maybe that's a good dynamic because it's about bargaining. Just like this Green Deal these people are talking shit about. You have to ask for the sky just to get some raindrops. I mean, that's what am I wrong here? That's what bargaining is.
Yes.
But back to the Middle East. Now, why is it so hard? This is some fucked up shit. I've been waiting. See, I don't know, man. I take a lot for granted because I'm just the people I choose to be around. Apparently, people don't understand what Zionism is. They don't understand this amazing
shit. Well, I think it's kind of like St. Paul being all things to all people. We had a comment from Will in Chicago in the chat room last night when we were talking about this, Todd.
Really? Oh, Will is so bright.
Yeah, and what Will said was there are a number of varieties. There have been a number of varieties of Zionism over the years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the Zionism that says that the Jewish people need a homeland that will be theirs, you know, mm-hmm. where they won't be subjected mm-hmm. to pogroms and slaughters and genocides. So there's that. Then mm-hmm. way over on the right, there is, you know, over to the right of Genghis fucking Khan, mm-hmm. there's that much more muscular, barbaric, brutal Zionism that is basically Israel uber Allahs.
Right. Like the guy with the patch when we were kids.
I know.
With the D. Done yet?
Ben Gurion.
You know him. Yep.
David
Ben-Gurion.
Well,
yeah, he starts right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then there's the guy who got himself assassinated for daring to suggest that Israel could somehow live peaceably with its neighbors.
You see how close we were? We remember that. We were so close. We were so close. We could smell it. We were so close.
Moshe Dayan. Sorry. Not
Moshe
David.
Dayan. That's who I was. Right. Because Ben Gurion is like.
Yeah, that's cowbells out to Randy and Scott for picking that one up. Yeah, Moshe Dayan.
Get a hell of a team.
Yeah, but you know, just to the same, and the parallels are striking. You know, Gandhi was not killed. Gandhi was not assassinated by a Muslim. Gandhi mm-hmm. was assassinated by a Hindu.
His own people.
And the same thing with, was it Yitzhak Rabin?
Mm-hmm. He got two, you know, for their power elite, he got concessionary for them. You know, they didn't want the peace. They did not. And see, that's the thing. People, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I think people just don't fucking, I don't know, man. I don't know. Some people like Niles and some people don't. And that's
well, and some people, some people, as the old saying around here goes, would rather climb a tree and fight than stand on the ground and live in peace.
I heard you say
and because it's a form of dysfunction that over time, if that's your default setting, over time that will become your way of life, a constant state of paranoia. It's not like there weren't Israeli thinkers who saw this coming. You can find the essays, I've read them, of people saying if the country stays on this path, we're going to wind up a paranoid pariah state. Which is mm-hmm. where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I got a story in my stacks today from the BBC of a woman in Iran named Nasreen Sotoudeh. She's a human rights lawyer, and she has been stuffed in prison by the Iranian regime for 38 years and ordered to undergo 148 lashes.
Damn.
And we look at that and we immediately recoil in horror because we recognize what a barbaric thing that is. Among other right. things, she was convicted in absentia in one case of what is basically lèse majesté. In other words, saying something that the supreme 32nd degree exalted noble leader didn't like,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing remotely civilized about that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, and it's not the same thing, but it's on a continuum. You got buses that women can't ride in Jerusalem. Because, of course, they're filthy, dirty women folk who could pollute the serene purity of the men folk.
See, does middle America understand?
And so whenever somebody says, well, you know, our dear friend Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. Well, how democratic is it to have segregated fucking buses? The last I checked, Rosa Parks had it didn't see that as too particularly democratic.
See, once again, you're Sergio Segway, once again, because that was on my mind last night, and that was really kind of what I was like. I don't think, in other words, I was brainwashed. I was brainwashed. When I say brainwashed, I'm like I fit into this line, which is easy to do if you just watch ABC, CBS. You know, when we were coming up with just three networks, really. You know, it's like Israel's our friend. You know, you just go with it until you dig a little deeper. You know, and you find out what's going on. Like, why? You ask some questions. Why did South Africa teach Israel how to engage in apartheid activities? And some people say apartheid, but it's apartheid, apartheid, T-H-E-I-D, hate. It's hate, apartheid. So that's why I said
I thought apartheid. That was the E-I, that was the Germanic E-I pronunciation that comes off as an I sound. Because it's Afrikaans, and Afrikaans comes from Dutch, and Dutch is a kinfolk language to German. But I could be wrong.
Well, you're often not. And that's what people love.
Because in Germanic languages, EI is I and IE is E.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that whole I before E except after C just doesn't work in German.
So maybe get out my Warner's grammar. I think it's Warner. I still have this shit in there.
Oh, hey, let me interrupt just for a minute because I made a mistake. The message didn't come through. But Charlene actually put a $50 challenge on the table. And so yeah. if that $50 is met, she will then add another $25. And that'll get us down, you know, that'll get us down, you know, closer to 300 than 400, which is huge. And Charlene said, I'll also commit to $200 toward the equipment fund. So that'll take the equipment fund down to $1,800. And, you know, you're the one who said last night, you know, don't say it can't happen. It could happen.
Yeah, I did. I was, yeah, you heard. Yeah, I did.
I appreciate the optimism.
But Charlene is something. You know, just the whole family, you know, the things that we are able to talk about on this network and on your program. Because this is a conversation. I mean, obviously, people are ignorant. I'm exacerbated. I only have so much time to say. I can't change the world, you know. But you can't. But we can, you know, we can try. I mean, we can deal with facts. And if you, and I'm not trying to go off on a tangent, but this motherfucker is proposing to cut $1 billion from the National Science Foundation, or over $1 billion, at least $1 billion. What the fuck?
Well,
like, you are ignorant enough. You want to make sure everyone's ignorant like you?
Well, there's that, but there's also the Trump administration is planning on cutting veterans benefits. It's in the budget request that dropped yesterday.
You must be incorrect, Bob, because he loves the vets.
Oh no! In fact, one of his little minions testified in front of Congress and under questioning said, no, I don't think there's a downside in cutting veterans' benefits. Hell no.
Man. You know what? It's so much. Every time I talk to you, I get, on the one hand, I'm just subdued by your intelligence. On the other hand, I get just, my shit is just popping off. This is back to projection. This shit, they project from top to bottom. This is insane. Where do we start with this shit? These people, they're living vicarious. They are living a mystical vicarious existence through this person. You know, they wish they had a pretty slutty wife, and they wish they could cheat on their taxes. And, you know, and they wish they could call everybody nigger and get away with it. But they can't. But that's why they voted for this.
Well, one guy tried to get away with it.
Oh, I said that word. I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to say that.
No, I despise that word. I really, really do.
I know, and I heard you.
Since you brought it up, let's run out to Utah, shall we?
Oh, shit.
I don't know if you saw this story, but Russell Westbrook hollered back at a white guy in the stands who was hollering shit at him. He told him, get down on your knees like you're used to. The heckler did to Russell Westbrook. And of course there was a post game interview and this.
I can't wait to hear that.
The realization of it is how it started was young man and his wife in the stands told me to get down on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate in a sense of there's no protection for the players. I think there are a lot of great fans around the world that like to come to the game and enjoy the game. And there are people that come to the game and to say mean, disrespectful thing about me, my family. For many years, man, I've done all the right things. I've never done anything to hurt or harm anybody. I've never been in any trouble. Never fought a fan. Been in the league 11 years. Clean slate. Humble. I take whatever, all the criticism from everybody. I've been doing the same thing for years. And for me, disrespect will not be taken from me. I'm completely... just sit back some time and just take it like that's just one video, but throughout the whole game, throughout the whole, since I've been here, especially here in Utah, every time I come here, it's a lot of disrespectful things I said. And
notice that every time I come here, there's a lot of disrespectful things said.
Oh, I heard it.
Mm.
Yep.
So, dude tried to delete. And by the way, he has a name. The racist son of a bitch has a name, Shane Kiesel, or if we're using the IE rule, Shane Kiesel, K-E-I-S-E-L. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that was doing the hollering in front of his wife and kid, no less. And then he went on social media, and by the way, he's a maggot. Of course, he's a maggot. And his Twitter feed says, "Family, friends, God, and country." Okay.
Oh, please.
And even though he tried to make it go away, the internet is forever. And he tweeted, "Come at
my dick."
No. See, this is a conundrum for me because that word's in it. And do I say the word or do I not say the word?
No, you got to say the word in its context. You got to let it out, man.
Yeah, he tweeted, "Come at me, nigger boy." Mm-hmm. And he tweeted, "Westbrook is a piece of classless shit. Somebody needs to kick his ass. Hashtag tool. Hashtag poor loser." Back on in March 2018, apparently this guy's got an obsession with Russell Westbrook. He said, "Russell Westbrook needs to go back where he came from, hashtag MAGA."
And if you listen to the maggots, they will swear on their graves that, I listen to these people every day, that the Democrats, the progressives, are the party of hate. And they're just tearing the country apart because they're about hate.
This maggot got caught, and then he tried to backpedal. He said, "I didn't say get on your knees. I said sit down and ice your knees, bro."
That's not what he said.
Well, that's not what Russell Westbrook heard, and it's not consistent with a guy who says Russell Westbrook needs to go back where he came from, MAGA, piece of classless shit, somebody needs to kick his ass, and come at me, I'm not saying it twice.
So we have one party feeling, we have both parties feeling like they are in charge and on top of their argument. And winning the argument. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have a problem. And going back to how we started our conversation, maybe I don't know if you want to go there, but you see, there's a lot to discuss. Oh my God, this goes back to education again. Why does this shit always lead back to history and lack of education?
Because that's the only way it can exist. Hate is born with very few exceptions. Hate, Todd, is born of ignorance. Again, I refer to that wonderful song from South Pacific, "You Have to Be Carefully Taught." Oh, and by the way, a big thanks going out to Alma. Alma met Charlene's challenge, so that's beautiful. So that means we're let me do the ciphering real quick.
Where's Jethro?
333 to go. 333 to go. That should be easy to remember.
Damn, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And if we can get it down below, $300, we won't have a $500 fundraising goal tomorrow, which is awesome. Because the deacons hate carrying those fucking plates all night long. They really do. And I work.
Yeah.
You know, they're in a terrible lather by the time prayer meeting Wednesday's over with.
Yeah. And then after the blue-haired ladies finish cooking, they want to sit down, they want to enjoy some food and listen to a good sermon.
Right, yeah, exactly. So 333, and you know, maybe we could get down to where it would only be 473 tomorrow, like it was tonight. That'd mean that we knocked out a night's fundraising.
But the economy's doing great, so I don't know what's going on with the money, because apparently we have a booming economy. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it depends on who it's booming for.
Well, can we talk about South Africa just for a minute again?
Sure.
Because I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. The government of Israel contracted folks in South Africa to learn how to operate an apartheid system. And we got rid of our ties in South Africa, the world did, and we forced them to change by boycott and by public shaming and other different ways. And Stephen Biko, his story is wonderful. If anybody likes reporters, and that's a wonderful story if anybody doesn't know about that.
God, but, and Peter Gabriel's song Biko just is devastating.
Oh, we know some shit. Their best, yeah, Gabriel from is something.
But you know, there are so many things that go by the wayside that we tend to forget about. Remember when the armored personnel carriers and the snipers showed up in Ferguson, Missouri? Those were police departments that had literally studied with Israeli police on how to suppress an aggrieved minority. That's one thing. The other, you know, there were South Africa was a sort of an export hub for a whole lot of nastiness, because back in the day, a guy named Don Blankenship. Remember Don? Don, who got 29 workers incinerated past the point of being able to recognize them as human beings?
I thought we were not going to talk about Dick Dastardly anymore.
Well, Don Blankenship went to South Africa to study union busting. Strike breaking.
Are you serious?
Yes. The tactics that he used on union coal miners in West Virginia were tactics that he learned from South Africa.
Holy cow. That motherfucker, oh my God. And when I say Dick Dastardly, he has a mustache, all he needs is a top hat and some train tracks and a damsel, and that's it. Oh my God. What a fucking piece of shit.
So, you know, there are dots being connected.
What the evil is about, man? And why aren't more people talking about it? You know, there's just so much shit that we're dealing with right now. There's so much shit. You know, the educational system is being eviscerated. We've got this woman who bought herself a position to be the whatever the title is in your head of the Department of Education.
Oh, Betsy DeVos, yeah. Whose only qualification was hating public education, which, of course, was plenty for Republicans, because Republicans despise public education. Because if you have a vibrant public education system, that means you wind up with an educated electorate. And then with an educated electorate, the Republican Party then has to die, because no one will support it. The Republican Party relies upon hatred, fear, paranoia, and bigotry. It's life force, Todd.
They're the new no-nothings. You know, it's just unbelievable. And the reason I asked you if you kicked Joe in the teeth the other day, it was because he was just like full on board. You know, because this thing we're talking about with the government of Israel versus the government of Israel and or their policies, and or how we treat them and what we give them Because, see, when people hear foreign aid, now, see, unless you do due diligence, you don't, people don't understand foreign aid is it's like arms. See, now, according to Democracy Now!, according to, what's that woman's name? That woman, she's a wonderful reporter. You know what I mean? Nancy, anyway, she does the Democracy Now! So we're able to send our arms over to Israel, and because they don't give a fuck about the Palestinians and Gaza.
Well, we sell them to Israel. We sell them to Saudi because it's good business.
It's good business, but they're able to use another.
Remember the words of that famous Republican from the early 20th century, Silent Cal Coolidge. The business of America is business.
It's business, and that's where we are. We are right back. We are right in smack, and maybe we're in the tail end. I don't know, but we're somewhere in the new gilded age. Because this economy they keep talking about, this is a fake bull. They talk about fake news. Oh my God, that's bullshit. How in the hell can the stock market be that high and everybody's working for $10 an hour if you work for a check?
Well, as Lee in New York points out. Booming economy for the rich, it's boom as in boom and bust. For the poor, it's boom as in dynamite goes boom.
That was beautifully put. That's it. That is it. And boom. Oh, perfect segue. Ah, another Sergio segue. Because when we send our, my God, the helicopter, man, this Black Hawk is like right over the house. Holy shit. So we send weapons over there to test on human beings because we're not allowed to do it. Under our auspices, you see. So when we send stuff over there, what they do, they test it out on those Palestinians because they don't give, you know, they want to kill them anyway.
Right. It was a few years ago when some anti-mountaintop removal activists were tree sitting, and they brought in a crowd control weapon and used it on tree sitters. It was a noise weapon, and it was
one of those sonic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it was designed to make life intolerable. And it just so happened that one of the people sitting on the board of directors of Massey Energy at the time was a member of the National Security Staff.
Like Massey is trustworthy.
Yeah, how's about that? Hey, by the way, just to sort of shift gears for a moment here, I got a note from Brother Deacon Asa last night. A story in Politico, there was one of those Tony, all kinds of different forks for all kinds of different little seafood kind of meetings of Republicans down on Sea Island, Georgia. You know where Sea Island is.
Sure, been there, yep.
And hosted, I think, by the American Enterprise Institute. It's their annual... The AEI, it was their annual World Forum in Sea Island. And it was all off the record.
Is it recent? Because that's where that's the same place they went to back at the turn of the century to go in the Federal Reserve System.
Yeah, and Sea Island cotton is famous because it was once a hellhole for slavery.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, it's all bad. Pretty, and it's a fancy schmancy report or resort now, and so the American Enterprise Institute every year hosts the World Forum in Sea Island, mm-hmm. and it's all off the record and hush hush and under the rose and on the down low on the QT and strictly confidential. But some information leaked out, and part of the information that leaked out from it was that Count Dicula interviewed for an audience Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek. And
what?
Yeah, and took him to task.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah, Dick Cheney told Mike Pence that the Trump administration isn't slaughtering nearly enough brown people to make him happy.
You're fucking kidding me.
No.
Oh my God. These people have lost their fucking
mind. And Pence was so uncomfortable, he said, He quipped at one point, man, who wrote all these softball questions?
You know, Bob, I've been thinking about our conversation last night. You know, that got silent a lot because, you know, some of the things you said were very profound. I mean, we just, this needs to be talked about.
Well, yeah,
and
it
like
does.
You said, like, this stuff, because I was thinking, like, I was like, no. And I just think, you know, I had my position because it's upstate, and I had to slow down because sometimes my mouth does not move as fast as my mind. And you intimidate me.
Well, I don't mean to. I'm not trying. But Cheney went after him and criticized the Clementine Caligula's predilection for announcing foreign policy on Twitter. And also criticized him for making decisions without consulting intelligence reports and his aides.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're in trouble.
At one point, Cheney said to him, it seems at times that as though your administration's approach has more in common with Obama's foreign policy than traditional Republican foreign policy. You know, slaughtering brown people for being brown.
See, Cheney's evil, but he's not stupid like the rest of these people. He knows, he's like, I can mold this motherfucker. I'm gonna put the wedge in. That's what you're saying. Like, okay, you're not moving hard now.
Well, he was deliberately trying to influence a man who he expects has a halfway decent chance of someday being president. Now, this, because you've used the word segue a couple of times, this segues into a note I just got from Mike in Cascadia. Subject line, Liz Cheney. Hey, Bob, Liz Cheney's dirty old man was the primary architect for the slaughter of 1 million human beings, innocent civilians, in Iraq. Just think, 1 million human beings don't live in the state she represents in Wyoming. Of course, she also famously hasn't lived in Wyoming for years, but that's beside the point. Liz called House Resolution 183 a sham resolution. That's the resolution condemning anti-Semitism that she voted against. Mike says, what the fuck? So do you think 1 million dead Muslims isn't enough for the Cheneys? Do they want 2 million dead Muslims? 3 million? Maybe Iraq isn't enough. Maybe they want Iran, and then where? Someday Dick Cheney's grandkids will probably be in power begging to kill more Muslims. And, you know, I got that note just minutes ago, and at the same time, I had the story that Brother Deacon Asa had sent to me from last night from Politico, the one I just told you about, where Cheney says Trump isn't killing enough brown people. God damn.
Boy, oh boy, you really know how to just broach subjects and crack eggs and just get this fucking omelet going, man. You get this omelet. Because there's a lot of moving parts there. Because if we remember, when we went to, just look back. Remember, people like you, a lot of other people, you know, when we said, no, we should not be going to war in the middle, there's not enough evidence. And then we were laughed at, we were ridiculed, we were called anti-American, no French fries, no this, no that.
Surrender and monkeys, don't forget surrender monkeys.
Joey Vento, my hometown, I'm living there. I was like, I'm not good with cheesesteak in there anymore. You know, this bullshit. And we were right, as usual. And then for what? Didn't this look and see, listen to that asshole's speech, not this current asshole, but George W., you know, the bright one, the C student, who told everybody it's okay to be a C student, which, you know, whatever. Remember, he started talking about the valley, walk through the valley of death. See, that was a new crusade. Remember, he was one of those born-again Christians.
God,
and you brought that up.
God told me to attack Saddam in Iraq, and I did. And now you have to help me. Right, remember that?
See, there's a lot more going on here than people are recognizing or talking about. Maybe people recognize it and don't care because they just want to go to work and come home to whatever. But, you know, there's a lot more going on.
Oh, and by the way, Scott in San Diego says, that's cheese-eating surrender monkeys to you, bub. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I got a note in from Darlene in Connecticut, who is trying to get us out of the hole. Darlene has put a challenge on the table. If the community throws in $100, I'll match it with 133, and that'll take us only down to only $100 to go. That can happen. That's awesome.
Wow! You see that? This could be wiped out tonight. This can be wiped out.
So we've got about an hour and 6 minutes to knock down $100.
I think that can happen. I really do. I really think that can happen because the type of, the discourse. I mean, it's invigorating. You know, this is like oxygen. You know. So you brought up the Crusades last night. I remember you saying that. I think I do.
Yeah. When the Christians took Jerusalem and slaughtered every living thing.
Yeah.
Jew, Muslim, male, female, child, beasts of the field, things that crawled on their bellies, they killed everything.
That was some bloody shit. They didn't forget that. And all this shit is coming together, remember? And then, you know, we're talking about the Bosphorus and look at what our president is doing. Everything that Russia, the former Eastern Bloc, would want. Weakening NATO, softening up areas like Turkey is the key.
Did you happen to notice that the Parliament in the UK stuck a great big middle finger in the air at Theresa May today and said, "Nah, 17 days to go, we're not signing this Brexit deal either."
Nope, they're waking up. They're like, you know what? Maybe that wasn't a good idea. They're finally fucking waking up. See, that's the other thing. There's so much, Bob. Every time I talk, there's so much information. There's so much going on.
Ali Velshi interviewed Mehdi Hassan of Al Jazeera today. He's British.
Mm-hmm.
And Mehdi Hassan didn't mince words.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad. Let's see here.
She said, as we picked up her speech, she said the European Union is going to want a good reason as to why they should extend the deadline. So preparations are now underway for a crash out or a no-deal Brexit, which would involve the British government declaring a critical incident. The Department of Health there has been stockpiling medicine. Food manufacturers are stockpiling ingredients. I mean, Mehdi, this is a serious issue. What happens next, in your opinion?
It's madness, isn't it, Ali? One of the richest countries in the history of the world, my country, the United Kingdom, stockpiling medicines, talking about delays to fresh produce for a no-deal Brexit. Ali, just to be clear for your American viewers, this has been going on for 2 years.
Yep.
2 years ago, the United Kingdom invoked Article 50 to get out of the European Union after the referendum was won by the Leave side. 2 years later, we're now 17 days away from March 29th, 11 p.m., Friday night, Britain crashes out of the European Union without a deal. This is crazy. There's been nothing like it in my lifetime. And Europe's been tearing apart the Conservative Party for decades. But I don't think anyone thought it would come to this. And Theresa May, I'm sure, didn't think it would come to this. She called an election in 2017 to try and help her negotiating position. She lost her majority. She lost her senior cabinet ministers like Boris Johnson along the way. In January, as Bill mentioned, she lost by the biggest margin of any government in modern British democratic history trying to get this deal passed. She tried again now. Plan B was to try again. Lost again. What is Plan C? She doesn't have one. I don't think the opposition has one. I don't think anyone has
Mehdi Hassan,
one.
Is there the a problem. Solution in Great Britain? I think we can all agree Theresa May's leadership has not solved this problem. This is what is the solution? I mean, who can solve this problem now? We're 17 days out. What happened? What can happen that is not a bad ending for the United Kingdom?
I think it's this idea that something will happen in the nth hour. This idea, you know, there's a lot of Brits who I think in their heads are thinking, well, the Europeans will do something. They'll help us out some way. We're talking now about extending. Bill mentioned the vote on Thursday to extend Article 50 temporarily till May. There are European elections in May, and the Europeans are like, well, you've got to get out before May, otherwise you have to contest the European parliamentary elections. Now, I don't understand what extending Article 50 really does. All it does is we just carry on arguing for another 2 months. Because as long as there's no solution that's acceptable to all the various different factions, the Tory party divisions, the Labour party divisions, and of course Northern Ireland, which has caused the recent problems, this idea of avoiding a hard border between Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK and will leave the EU, and the Republic of Ireland, which stays in the EU. None of that gets resolved. I don't see how it gets resolved in 8 weeks or 10 weeks. So all it does is it just moves the date for this cliff edge that Britain falls off of.
Bill, let me ask you about this.
Isn't that some shit?
And
he's right. They're waiting because, and this is another phrase that will not be used in any other radio program this evening. They are literally waiting for a device from ancient Greek theater to save them. Mr. Hassan referenced that there when he said they're waiting for a last minute miracle. They're waiting for a Deus ex machina to swing the god out on a crane over the stage, and poof, everything changes. Well, who engages in that kind of thinking? That's called magical thinking. I know you know that better than I do.
Right. So that's no, I don't know better. I'm just saying you're such a good.
That's magical thinking. That's the kind of thinking that junkies engage in. You know, I'll miraculously get clean on Friday the 29th at 10:59 p.m. And then everything
will
be okay.
By then. I swear,
it would seem that the easiest answer to this, Todd, is to have a do-over. But as has been pointed out, that's no guarantee.
Don't start me with do-over.
There's no guarantee there, because for all we know, they'll get a worse result because, among other things, Uncle Big Bad Vladdy Daddy will deploy his goddamn troll army just like he did to get the leave result in the first place.
I think they got those folks better than they got us. Well, not better. I mean, better for on Russia's side. In other words, they were more successful.
And there ain't going to be no god swinging out on no crane.
Now, what is it going to take the MAGAs? See, they don't even fucking read. They don't look at world news. You know what I mean? They don't know. Like, it's not just us. It's about the Western world. You got to understand, Russia doesn't have a lot of money because they're plutocrats and they just steal everything off the top. So there's not much left. And look on the cheap, look what they've done on the cheap. Fucked up the West. Now, NATO's being dismantled. This is fucking ridiculous. And who knows? God, it may not even matter. This asshole has probably given up. Who knows what he's given up in terms of secrets?
Right. Who knows? I don't know if even Mueller can get to the bottom of it. And I know that there are a lot of people out there, Todd, who are hot pissed over what Nancy Pelosi said about impeachment. But I would simply, and I want the fucker impeached too, okay? I do. But I also recognize the practical realities of the situation. But in the course of saying she's not an impeachment fan, she said something that's going to cut him all the way to his liver.
What did she say, Bob?
Talking about impeachment and Trump, she said this, and this is a quote, "He's just not worth it."
You see, that's a mature woman.
And see that, and that's going to, and I mean, wouldn't you love to, I mean, I don't know if they did this with Jethreen Bodine, the press secretary. Jethreen, do you agree with Nancy Pelosi on impeachment? Well, we certainly do. So you agree that Donald Trump's just not worth it. Is that you agree with that, right, Jethreen?
Well, shit, they didn't prepare me for this up there at Bug Tussle Tech. God damn it.
See, that got, like you said, under the skin. That is like an infection, and it's going to fester.
Yeah, so now she's, without the racist overtones, She is now engaged in a game of Brer Fox and Brer Rabbit and the Briar Patch. With that simple phrase, he's just not worth it, that almost compels Trump to say, oh, yes, I am. Impeach me, motherfuckers.
Right.
Impeach me, goddammit.
So he's going to act out even more now because he's not worth it. I'll show you I'm worth it. I'm going to really fuck up.
Oh, right? Wait a minute. I got a cowbell here. I got a cowbell. This goes out to Earther. Stop torpedoing all our beautiful Brexit deals, Bob. You neo-euro-confederational shill. Neo-euro-confederational shill. Earther called me everything but Eurotrash.
Earther,
yeah. Oh, and hey, thanks to Colin. Colin took us down to $65 to go on Darlene's challenge, and I just had a note from Tracy.
Oh, Tracy.
Happy 65th birthday, Jan. Yes, happy 65th birthday, Jan. Today is my wonderful wife's 65th birthday. In honor of it, I'm putting forth the following challenge. I will pledge $37.50, which is half of 65, to help toward today's fundraising challenge in hopes that someone will match it to bring it to a grand total of $65. Jan appreciates the fact that your show does give me someone to talk about politics with, so she doesn't have to, and for that, she's very, truly grateful. Come on, Horn family, jump in, and not only will you be helping my homie Bob, but you'll also be honoring my wife as well. One more thing. Breathe, Todd. Keep the faith. Love, Tracy. Breathe, Todd. Yes.
I can't mess with Tracy, man.
So that's on the table too. So that means we've got a grand total of $137.50 in challenges on the table, and we've got $102.50 to go. $65 on Darlene's, $37.50 on Tracy's, and that would get us down to only $35, and we'll be out of the hole. So we've got about 55 minutes. We got about 55 minutes to raise $102, and that'll be tremendous. That would be awesome if we can do it.
So I'm going to tell you this: that's going to happen. If it doesn't happen during the program, it's going to happen overnight for the next program.
It would be great if it happened during the program, though, wouldn't it?
Well, of course. That's the best case scenario.
Meanwhile, Irish Dave noted the $37.50, and Irish Dave just noted it, or renamed it, the Better Half Challenge.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking about my better half.
Right.
I'm trying to get her to call her, but she still is not. Tracy has talked to her. Anyway,
There is a little bit of somewhat breaking-ish news. After Nancy Pelosi said Donald Trump's just not worth it.
Yes, I am. I'm so worth it.
All right, Alec.
Representative Al Green, a Democrat from Texas, said he's going to force an impeachment vote on the floor anyway.
Baby, listen, I saw Al Green today on C-SPAN this morning. Listen, he used to seem a little, I don't know, I wasn't paying attention to him. At first, I thought he was a little crackpotish. Oh, look, he's got his argument succinct, tight. Listen, he's not fucking around. He was like, look, if you're not, he told people, be in my office, he gave the date. I'm not trying to call you out, Bob, but you have vacillated over this impeachment thing.
I have. Call me out. I'm of two minds on it.
A lot of people are, but see, and I'm of, I don't give a fuck mind, because like I keep saying, and really now that I've been doing the research, it really wasn't about Monica Lewinsky that got Clinton impeached. It was about lying about the other the woman with. I don't know how to describe it, whatever. A different woman. I don't think it was about Monica. It was about something else.
Well, here's where I am. on the one hand, if I put on my powdered wig and my velvet knee breeches and my black shoes with the buckles on them,
and go to Philadelphia on Dock Street,
right? Then it's easy. Impeachment is easy,
right?
Because you do it. If on the other hand, I'm 21st century Bob, and I recognize that there's less than a year to the first presidential primary, and that impeachment proceedings, rather than being the simple process that they should be, but have become a stylized, complicated process, then I recognize that we're going to be impeaching him in his reelection bid, and he will use that as a tool to whip up the maggot Nazi faithful, then I come to a different conclusion. And, yeah, I've taken some pushback for saying that there's no point in impeaching a guy when Mitch McConnell is simply not going to let it happen and there's no two-thirds vote in the Senate. Sometimes the argument goes, sometimes you just do the right thing. And I get that,
okay,
too. But I'm trying to figure out where we come up with anything that we call a win by impeaching him. It's not going to force him from office because, as I said last night, he does not have the level of, he does not have the moral center of even Richard Nixon.
He ain't got shit.
Right.
Right.
So he's not going anywhere. And the question I want answered, and I'm not being mean about this, is, do you want impeachment so badly you're willing to have four more years of what has just about destroyed us in just two?
Mental health is going to take him down. And this is what I'm saying. People have forgotten about Tony Schwartz. I think that's his last name.
By the way, you've now been described by Irish Dave as an anti-vacillator.
That's fucking hilarious.
That's
I love the word.
Yeah, and continues and suggests we need some of that herd immunity, HEARD. He who would pun would pick a pocket.
Bitcoin. Look, what we understand is that we have to understand there are 38% of the population that live in the areas that matter when they vote that will never be moved. What Donald Trump could shit on their head, and they were like, oh, this is a house massage, you know? So that's what we're dealing with. So that being said, we need to teach these people a lesson because they are, you know, they're entrenched. You know, it ain't my fault they ain't fucking getting an education. Not my fault. I'm sorry. Or that's their great way. It's really what it comes down to. That's the great white hope. Let's be honest. This is what this is about. This is the last grasp at the great white hope. And, you know, and this is what America's supposed to be about. And this is the backlash. We had that Negro in that White House and his family, and they had their asses on those commodes and the White House. It's an affront. And I'm telling you this because I was a frequent person at Happy Hour for many years. Many years. And I would listen to people because I can listen.
Yeah,
people
will
buy me drinks.
You sit back and listen, you'll hear some stuff.
You'll hear some stuff.
Among other things, you remember the most salacious aspect of the Steele dossier? The PP party? Now, they weren't the hookers weren't peeing on him. They were peeing on the bed where Barack and Michelle slept.
Right. What he watched.
You ever wonder if Julius Geezer and Melanoma had the toilets replaced in the residence?
I don't have to wonder that. I know that bitch did that. Are you fucking? I hate to use that word. I was told. My better half, she told me I'm too judgmental and I shouldn't say bitch. She told me that. So
it's kind of freighted. Yeah. By the way, note coming in from Brother Deacon Asa. What Todd's trying to say is that no matter what, those 38% will go hood over heels and vote for Trump. Whoa. That's got, you know what? That's got long-term potential. The maggots are hood over heels, crazy in love with Trump.
Oh shit. That's a t-shirt, man. I'm hood over heels. Oh shit. Go, baby.
Yeah. That's pro. And happy news at 15 past the hour. Sister Jude in the Great Northwest has finished off both challenges.
No shit.
Yeah. So
I
that's
told you
awesome.
To happen.
You were right, and it did. People took your optimism at face value, and
you had me ground down to the fucking ground yesterday. I was feeling like a mole, man. You were like, you know. But look, man, we have to have these conversations.
I believe that.
Okay, so
yeah.
I'm sorry, man. Can we go back to what we started with?
Sure.
Now, at what point are we able to have an open and honest conversation about why we give military aid to a country that engages in apartheid when we already kind of solved that issue with South Africa? So, and maybe we need to bring that up, equate them with South Africa, bring up the documents. They're there. It's public information. So, and when you bring it up, you need to look at who's going to demonize you when you bring that up, because it's data. You know, I'm a data person. I made most of my money working with data. Data, you know, it's just the way it works. So it's very simple. And finally, who's going to talk about you when you, I mean, it's facts. It's not, you're making something up. You know, and it would make everyone, it would just better the world. You know, obviously this is my opinion. You know, but I try to deal with facts. I'm emotional. Everybody likes emotions. Emotions feel good. Great. You know, but at some point you have to deal with facts.
I agree wholeheartedly. But we have that 38% of the country hates them some facts. I mean, how are they going to spin veterans' benefits being cut? And what it boils down to is they're not saying you're going to get less than what you're already getting. They're just going to cut the cost of living allowance, because you get a little cost of living bump because the cost of living goes up on an annual basis. So they're saying fuck the cost of living allowance. Now, how are all those disabled maggot veterans? I'm just going to have to play my part in making America great again.
Right, exactly. Because they're caught up into this psyche. This
we all got to sacrifice.
Right, I'm doing my part. Because Trump's doing a good job and I'm trying to help him. And y'all need to ask the president. He needs to help him stop that and tear him down. God damn it. I'm tired of y'all.
Got to give him a chance.
Give him a chance. It's only been 300 years. You got to give him a chance. What the fuck is this shit, man? I mean, motherfuckers, man. I'm tired of these ignorant-ass people. It's fucking ridiculous. I mean, I'm sorry. Everyone is not fit to fucking run and be a president. Just because you like him, it don't mean shit. The motherfucker has lied to you. You don't know shit about this asshole.
He is closing in on 10,000 lies in less than 3 years.
fact behind the lies. We don't know the damage that he has done to this country. We don't even know. It's so deep. We don't even, I mean, what we see is fucked up. What we see is beyond fucked up. That's what we see. You, me, anybody who's paying attention.
Right. It's like the iceberg at the beginning, you know, from Titanic Tuesday. You see an iceberg ahead, but you just see a little bit of it. The little bit that's sticking up above the water. There's a lot more iceberg below.
Do you remember?
And it's the underwater part that will fuck you up.
It will fuck you up. We kept saying, well, how big? We were like, wait a minute. Well, how large can this come? How large can this go? Like, why are all these people following in line? Then here we come with Butina and the NRA, and here's that money, and here's Citizens United. You see, that's what's going to make it hard to. Oh shit! What's the fucking dog? That's what's going to make it hard to prosecute because of fucking Citizens United. I mean, that's just one. I'm not trying to be a naysayer. I'm just saying this shit.
No, I get it. I get it. And you know, there's one story we haven't touched on this evening, and I'm gonna go to. I got somebody that's been very patient on hold, so I want to make sure
that's
we get.
Fine.
We're gonna,
that's great.
But there's one more story we haven't touched on, and that is the college story today, where wealthy, mostly white folks, it turns out, were paying massive amounts of money to a college advisor who then who then bribed coaches at schools as disparate as the University of Southern California and Wake Forest University to classify wealthy white kids as student athlete recruits so as to more easily get them into college. Yale, Stanford, Georgetown, Wake Forest, the University of Texas, Boston College, Boston University, Northeastern University, and yes, USC.
So this is how we have these compromises.
They were paying people to take SAT and ACT tests for their precious lumpkins, so Precious wouldn't have to wind up going to Busted Knuckle State.
Ain't that some shit?
You know, because it's so embarrassing to have to go to college with the proles.
I
don't have a good college degree. I've just got a shitty state college degree from, you know, little old West Virginia.
You know what you have by looking between your ears, and that's what matters.
Well, apparently not to Lori Loughlin or Felicity Huffman. You know, Aunt Becky from Full House, Lori Loughlin.
Oh, shit.
Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives. They were some of the ones who, they were just a couple of the people who were paying people to, and Lori Loughlin's daughters are Instagram influencers. And so
here we go again.
Lori Loughlin's daughter posted an Instagram pic for all of her cool shit for her dorm that she got from Amazon.
Oh my God! Now we got commercials.
And got paid for that shit on Instagram. The influencer game is huge.
You can
make a fortune on it, and of course, it's better for her influencer game if she's sitting in a dorm room at Stanford instead of Busted Knuckle Tech.
Wow, that's the new scam. Oh, wow, you opened. Oh, man, that's a whole show.
They even, as Darlene points out, altered SAT scores upward. And a tax-exempt foundation was the cover and the conduit for all of it.
Well, that sounds like the president's daughter. Remember when she was bragging about her bracelet when she was on 60 Minutes? She was like, oh, yeah, you can get this at Ivanka.com.
Yep.
you know, this. Man, I know. Look, you are, man, I'm telling you, if it weren't for your program, I'm telling you. So I think people are listening to your program. They're just not, you know, they're just not saying it. They're listening to, you know, people who do things that influence our lives.
Well, it's like that Albert Brooks line from Broadcast News that Scott and I were talking about. I say it here, it comes out there. and that's not me getting all flush flimball, you know, with talent on loan from God. No, no, no. It's just weird how it happens.
Well, you had the real deal. See, you're dealing with, first of all, most of the people who listen to your program and participate, you know, they at least have to, I hate to say, I'm not elitist, but I mean, damn. You know, education's not a bad thing. We've gotten to this point where...
Yeah, but so the guy at the center of this scam, a guy named William Rick Singer, $25 million he raked in over 8 years.
What?
$25 million over 8 years.
Holy cow.
Let's see.
That's some shit. 25. That might keep your program going
ought. Divide by 8.
You better stop ciphering.
That's $3,125,000 per year for scamming little kids who were not qualified into positions. Right. And hey, one last thing, Todd. Remember when all the aggrieved white people had hissies about affirmative action and there's some, you know, the eugenics, the white eugenics types. Well, you know, obviously. And you know, what? One of them was Fat Dead Tony Scalia, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, obviously, there are Negro children going to schools taking up spaces that good white children could have.
If you don't like, if this university, well, maybe they should go into a black university. It would be more comfortable and the curriculum would not be as rigorous. I'm paraphrasing. That motherfucker. I'm sorry, man. I was talking over you. You hit a trigger on me, man.
Yeah. So where's the outrage about little privileged white children taking spots that could have been had by qualified people of color or qualified white kids? I mean, what this exposes is that college admissions is a great big privilege scam.
And
by the way, Jude points out it's a staggering story. Why are Lori Loughlin Felicity Huffman the only faces of this? Where's the picture of Rick Singer? Where, Jude asks, are the CEOs, the businessmen, and where is Singer's face? Why are we only being shown Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin? I think primarily because they're celebrities. And in Lori Loughlin's case, she has promoted her daughters as Instagram influencers. So that and remember, we just had the story a couple of days ago about the first female self-made billionaire, you know, Kylie Jenner.
And if she
is self-made, then I am the emperor of the amorphous, multi-limbed galactic empire of Norblap 9. Self-made.
I didn't get the memo, but I don't think you... But so, you know, this story that you just covered, maybe we need to think about the implications of that and who is where and why. And, like, are they really, like, why we have all these unqualified weirdo people trying to conduct themselves in responsible jobs that really don't have the background.
Right,
with the exception of maybe
Yale and Northeastern and Boston U, the rest of those schools are either basketball or football factories.
Everybody knows about legacy, though. I mean, legacy is it's an old thing, but maybe what you're saying is that it's like on turbo charge now. You see, well, it gets serious when you have people in government who have a quote-unquote degree from a prestigious university, and they really do shit because their people are giving them money. And we have to think about now, if you're reading, you know, reading reports, the Koch brothers figured out now they need to influence universities.
Right,
so
and as
money.
Right, and as Darlene points out, USC is trying to set the narrative by stating that certain people went to great lengths to conceal this activity from the university. As Darlene says, yeah, right, because see, up at Yale, you know, dear old Yale, the former women's soccer coach is a guy named Rudy Meredith, and he said, yeah, I took bribes. I took bribes in exchange for designating applicants to Yale as recruits. This was massive.
What does that mean? What the fuck?
Well, a young woman would apply to Yale, and he would designate her as a recruit for the soccer team at Yale, the women's soccer team.
She was being a recruit.
They staged these non-athlete kids in photos where they were pretending to play soccer.
Shit. That's fraud. That's fucking fraud.
They would take stock photos of a person playing some sport, and then they'd Photoshop the student's face onto the athlete. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. It's filthy. And the thing is, while you'd like to think this would cause reform, it won't. It won't. As Arthur says, yeah, wealthy affirmative action. Stop quotas now. Now quit it, Bob. You're leaving Todd speechless.
No, I wasn't speechless. Bob is preaching. When Bob preaches, I know when to be quiet. I mean, we've come to, I'm trying to figure it out. You know, as a kid, there's a symbiotic relationship when you have a conversation. You have to know when to talk, when to be quiet, you know. And I think Bob and I have a good rapport with that. Because Bob knows what the fuck he's doing.
Man. I mean, this is just amazing. I mean, it's not surprising. You know, with wealth comes the privilege of not playing by the rules.
There's no way
that George W. Bush was sharp enough to get into fucking Yale, but he came from a Yale family and he was a legacy, so bang, privilege, you're in, skull and bones. Look, it's Geronimo's skull. Wow.
You're in. Look, man, when I was in boarding school, I'm telling you, there were some kids in there, they were inbred, straight up. I mean, it was like, something's wrong with them. And I'm like, wow. Okay, how did you get an A on that test? Because you can't even fucking say your name. So I could have gone to Choate, you know, seriously. I mean, I was only going to go to a certain school. I was just going to leave. You understand? I mean, seriously. I mean, Choate, Rosemary, all those elite schools, I could have gone there. The one that Mueller went to, I could have gone there. But I didn't want to wear a tie and a fucking jacket all day. I just, that wasn't me. I wasn't doing that. So what I'm saying is that when you get into that clique, like my roommates, a lot of well, except for one, the chauffeurs would come and pick them up. Their parents wouldn't even come see them. So that's what happens. You see, you go to prep school, you go to boarding school, you got that pedigree, and then you know you go to college, you know you got the money you pay. That's how that works. And it doesn't matter what you know. You had the paper behind you. You see, you don't have to work for it. And, you know, that's the system. That's the system. And I'm saying, I've seen it from the inside.
It's not a flaw. It's a feature.
It's a
I mean, my God, what's the point in being rich if you can't game the system, Muffy?
What's the right? sets the whole fucking thing, man. I'm telling you. Look, in upstate New York, what? That's how these people roll. It's just, they don't even talk about it. This is what it is. Storm King. Now, let me tell you, Storm King. Woo! Man, Storm King. That is the place to be. Now, when we played, the Storm King was great. Man, almost all those kids had cars. They were BMWs, Mercedes, Porsche. I mean, those kids, they were coked up. Oh, my God. It was like you could smell the money. I mean, that shit was. You look up Storm King. Storm King.
I will.
Storm King.
I will.
Cat.
All right, man. It's been a great conversation this evening. I appreciate it, Todd. I really, really do. I'm going to try to get in another call before we run out of program this evening. But, man, what a dandy.
It's always, man. Everyone appreciates you, Bob. And everyone appreciates you. You know, I'm looking forward to the ribs, and I'll see you later.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Later. That's our buddy Todd down in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, going back to the phones in a second. Yeah, we've met the fundraising goal, Tracy's challenge, and Darlene's challenge. That's awesome. What's this? Memo to Bob and Todd, courtesy of Scott in San Diego. Let's face it, kids. We're living in a sunny Drysdale world. Louie Nye from the Beverly Hillbillies. Precisely. Good reference. James in Illinois says, Clinton was about Nixon, talking about impeachment. The first two-term Democrat after Dick. If Carter had been reelected, he would have been impeached. Clinton wasn't going to be convicted, neither will the Don. The difference? Impeachment hurt the Gingrich House. Impeachment will convict the McConnell Senate. Impeach the motherfucker. And I got no fight with that. But I also think it stands to... I think we have to acknowledge the possibility that it could give us Donald Trump second term. And it could lose us the House. I mean, those are the kinds of things that I think Nancy Pelosi is actually considering. So, and you know, what would the timeline be? When would the bill of impeachment be voted out? How many months of hearings? Could we have him impeached and have the Senate reject it before the first primary? Because Congress doesn't like to do anything in the second year of a Congress except campaign for the next Congress. A lot of shit we want to get done, and we got to get it done in this session of this first session of this Congress. Because precisely zero will happen come January 2020. Zero. Nature of the beast. And so then the House impeaches, the Senate is the Senate has shown to be what the Senate is, but that's not going to affect Mitch McConnell's ability to be reelected, and probably not John Cornyn's, even though I'm the one who keeps saying to dare to dream. I stood in the breach and I protected your president from them goddamn Democrats. Will play big time in Kentucky, Stan, and in Texas, Stan. So it just, it's not a decision. It's not a decision that I'd want to be the one to have to make. But I do think that Nancy Pelosi is really, honest to God, and I know it drives people crazy, playing some 11D-dimensional chess, because when she said he's not worth it, Donald Trump not being worth something is going to cut him to the quick. And now over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's me, maybe from Decatur, Georgia again. Happy Tuesday. And it's warmer this week than it was last week, man.
We've had three magnificent days here. It's been lovely.
It's practically springtime down here in Decatur, Georgia, where I live and where I dwell and where I'm at. But what do you feel about those two doofuses in the mainstream media? More specifically, Fox News, what they said over this weekend, with Jeanine Pirro and the Tucker Carlson.
Oh, Jeanine Pirro is for the ages. And look, Tucker Carlson's just a skeevy, pervy creep, and why are we surprised?
Yeah, well, I wish that the media or the FCC would have get to Fox News or would do to Fox News like the law enforcement back in the 20s should have done to the mafia when it was formerly in its formative black years.
Well, here's your problem. The FCC has very limited jurisdiction, if at all, over Fox News because Fox News is cable, not broadcast.
Right. Yeah, but he said he would never bow down to the rage mob no matter what. And that he will never apologize, even though he said they'll apologize when they know they're in the wrong. Because that's what they always do here. Because they're civilized, rational, reasonable, sane, sound, mature, adult. You know, that's what he said on a clip I've heard recently or watched recently on the internet. But you know what they say and what they do are two different things. You know, hypocrisy much, Bob. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the fuel that runs their engine. It's a hypocrisy drive, no doubt about it.
Yes, it is. Yeah, if CNN or MSNBC or the rest of them did it, they'd be raising raising hard hell. They'd be raising bloody damn freaking as hell over it. They want us to apologize, you know, walk the plank like proverbial gunpoint, if you will. They want us to apologize to no end, like to the very end of time. But if they do and say something like that, oh no. They can get away with it with 210% impunity. But don't mess with them. They can fuck with us, but we can't fuck back with them. We can't fuck them back, if you know what I mean, Bob. You know, it's all right for them, but not okay for us. It's like bullies. They can attack and fight us, but you can't fight, defend, and strike back. You know what I'm saying, Bob?
Yeah, I do.
You know, it's like bullies, man. Like you said, they're mostly what? Cowards, right? They're cowards when they get caught. And he said that Media Matters dug up something that he said on a radio talk show host, on a radio talk show with Bubba Love over a decade ago. You know, he's being victimized, and they're picking on him. You know, Denise Pirro lost at least three advertisers. This past week.
Yep.
She lost at least three of them. I don't know how many he lost yet, as of yet.
He's not gonna lose that much.
But she lost three.
She is less valuable to Fox than Tucker Carlson is because Tucker Carlson is the linchpin to their connection to white supremacists. And white supremacists have money and white supremacists spend it money.
Right, but like you said, she's not white. Denise Pirro's not white. I'm surprised they haven't fired her yet, but she's less valuable to
them. Wait a minute, what do you mean she's not white? What do you mean she's not white?
Well, okay, I'll say it, put it to you this way, Bob. You said that she's less valuable to them than Tucker Carlson is. I'm surprised they haven't fired her yet. You know, I'm surprised they haven't fired her yet, if she's less valuable to them. Or should I give them a minute?
That's just her being stupid, and she's feeding the red meat to the Fox base. That's what she's there for. I mean, the business about you're talking about the business about the nuns and so forth.
Right. Well, he's stupid too, Bob, and they're all stupid. If you want to put it that way, they're all stupid. They're all stupid, and like I said, they're all stupid. I'm surprised they haven't been fired. Of course, that will never happen. But if our side did it, they'd be raising holy ass hell, right? And why doesn't Nancy Pelosi want to impeach Donald Trump? You know, you think the other Democrats want to impeach him?
Well, the paranoids are really getting to him. He was tweeting his pout rage earlier today. Yeah, he said, because somebody has gotten through and explained to him that he's in a box he can't get out of. He's painted himself into a corner. And so he knows that New York State's coming after him, too. And so today he tweeted, New York State and its governor, Andrew Cuomo, are now proud members of the group of, all caps, presidential harassers. No wonder people are fleeing the state in record numbers. The witch hunt continues.
Right,
and somebody has apparently explained to him that nobody but the governor can pardon him for crimes for which he is prosecuted by the state of New York.
Right.
And he's he can't buy his way out of it like he has in the past.
Right, but nobody's trying to stop him either. Short of impeachment or his resignation, nobody's up there trying to stop him. You know, were they afraid or scared of him? Is he that big of a bully?
No, Reggie. I mean, the thinking for not impeaching him is not by way of saying he hasn't done anything awful. He's done lots awful.
Right.
But the question is, which is more important? Impeaching him and impeaching him and him not being removed, and having some sort of symbolic victory by virtue of bills of impeachment in the House and saying he was impeached.
Or
working our asses off to beat him in 2020, take back the Senate, and start fixing what desperately needs to be fixed in this country.
I'll go with Plan B. What about you, Bob?
Well, like I said, you know, that Todd accused me of it, and I pled guilty. He said I was vacillating, and I go back and forth. As somebody who has some regard for the Constitution, and some knowledge of the thinking that went into it, he almost has to be impeached. At least under the Constitution, as the framers put it forward.
Right, we got to get rid of this guy at some point.
But the impeachment process that the framers put in the Constitution presumed that both houses of Congress would act in good faith and would not be motivated by that term that just bedeviled James Madison, faction. And faction is, and what he meant by faction is what we mean by political parties. But the fact of the matter is, our Congress has a bunch of Republicans in it who would let this country burn to the ground to ash if it meant that they hung on to their political power.
Right. So in other words, they don't want to.
Impeachment 2019 bears almost no relationship to impeachment 1787 as it was originally conceived.
Right. So they'd rather have him up in there, the Republican GOP Congress, than to impeach him and say that they're up and to admit them to themselves and the whole entire world that they're wrong. Right.
Well, they'll never admit they were wrong.
Right.
Republican, remember, there's one law, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican.
But not okay.
Anything that would get a Democrat run out of town on a rail, a Republican can do with impunity. Because I-O-K-I-Y-A-R.
Yeah. And that's not right nor fair, Bob. And we all know this, right? You know, those rules should be changed, right? Those rules should be changed. And who's going to be up there brave enough and courageous enough to change them? I guess the younger ones like AOC and the rest of them.
Here's the other thing. As long as he hasn't been impeached and as long as he hasn't been indicted, then if we can beat him in 2020 when the new Democratic president's hand comes off the Bible on January 20th, 2021, he can be arrested the same goddamn day. And there's nobody there to pardon him. And he can spend the rest of his miserable, shitty life answering charges from the state of New York and the United States government. And nobody can protect him. He can be hounded. He can be hounded all the way to the grave.
Right. And if he's impeached,
that may not happen. Yeah. Because then, because he knows he has to be reelected to protect himself against prosecution, and he also knows that he has to have a Republican vice president who can pardon him if he does have to bug out.
Right. You know, whichever Democratic president will be. I hope it doesn't matter who it is, as long as he's out of there, as long as he's out of the White House into an orange jumpsuit and in the federal state pen along with his kids. Right.
That's why I mentioned that sort of, and I think Todd was kind of taken aback when I did. That's why I mentioned that possibility last night. That say if he loses in 2020, expect mm-hmm. him to resign before January 20th so that Pence, also a lame duck, can pardon him.
Right. So he won't have to face prison time, right?
Well, federal time. But Pence can't pardon him. Pence can't pardon him for crimes committed in New York.
Right.
And by the way, I had a note from Alma, Reggie. And Alma said, I respectfully disagree with your caller. We all know that Jeanine Pirro and Carlson are smart propagandists. They are not stupid. This is a strategy Fox has always used to gain the upper hand with stupid white people. The people are stupid, not Fox News.
So the people are stupid for watching and supporting them, right?
Well, and for tuning in to have their biases confirmed.
Right, and if people would stop supporting them, you think they'll go out of business? Possibly forever?
Rupert Murdoch has enough wealth that he could run that network for 100 years without a single goddamned advertiser.
I'm surprised he hasn't done it yet already.
And that too is by design.
Yeah, that I thought you weren't supposed to. I thought a person who's not of this country can't own American businesses like Fox or Monopoly in America, right? Am I reading this wrong?
No, that was part of what the Telecommunications Act of 1996 did. It opened up American media for foreign ownership. I mean, go look at when Fox News first goes on the air.
Right.
It is contemporaneous with the passage and signing into law the enactment of the Telecommunications Act of 1996.
Right. Guess who put that into law?
Well, it was passed by a Republican Congress and it was signed into law by Bill Clinton.
Yes, I'm sure you blame him for that. I'm sure you blame and hate him for that one.
Well, I blame him for going along with the Republicans. It's the same thing with the goddamn welfare reform of 1995. It was a Republican idea, but he went along with it.
Yeah, why did he do that? Was he trying to get their votes or something?
He was trying to show them that he could be a team player. Because Bill Clinton Bill Clinton is a, there were those back then who said, I don't know why the Republicans hate him so much. He's the best Republican president we've had since Eisenhower.
Right. Because he did what they wanted him to do. And for his trouble,
he still got impeached anyway.
Yeah.
And I know people say that impeachment hurt the GOP House and Newt Gingrich. But it really didn't. I mean, they lost a little bit in terms of how much of a majority they had, but I don't remember the Democrats taking control of the House of Representatives in 2000 because it didn't happen, and they didn't take control in 2002 either. So I'm trying to sort out this. Oh, it hurt the Republicans' business.
No, it didn't. It hurt us more than it did them, right, Bob?
Well,
it hurt us way more than it did them. Right.
Well, but Clinton went in with his approval rating at X, and he came out with his approval rating at X plus 16. So,
right.
Yeah. Hey, Reggie, we're up against the end of the program, so I got to roll, man. But it's good to talk to you. You have a good night now, okay?
You too, Bob, and keep cool up there, okay? It is springtime down here, practically. Like
hey, you know what? It's a lovely 71 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and I got no complaints.
I hope you have your fans on instead of your heat.
It'll get down about 32 tonight, so it'll still
Okay. So you got your heaters out just in case, huh?
Yeah, there's a little more heating yet to be done.
Okay.
All right, you take care, Reggie.
Yeah, you do too, Bob, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right, later, man. That's everybody, Reggie calling from Decatur, and that pretty much brings us to the end of the program. What Reggie was talking about relative to Jeanine Pirro is one of the is her racist rant against Ilhan Omar, because she's got Ilhan Omar disease too. Ilhan Omar and AOC have set up housekeeping in Jeanine Pirro's, what the thin gray settlings between her ears that pass for brains.
This is not who your party is. Your party is not anti-Israel. She is. Think about this. She's not getting this anti-Israel sentiment doctrine from the Democrat Party. So if it's not rooted in the
Democratic Party, you fucking twit.
Party, where is she getting it from? Think about it.
Bruga, bruga.
Omar wears a hijab.
A hijab.
Which, according to the Quran, 33:59, tells women to cover so they won't get molested. Is her adherence to this...
Yeah, hold on. There's a book of the Quran called Could have fooled me. Yeah, oh, well. And it... You know, I know she's a lifelong New Yorker, but the way she says hijab... You could swear she's got a vacation home in, say, you know, Ono Island in Alabama.
This Islamic doctrine, indicative of her adherence to Sharia law, which in itself is antithetical to the United States Constitution?
Hey, Jeanine, you fucking dumbass. I'll bet you a dollar to a donut that you're a Roman Catholic. And that means that you adhere to canon law, which is the law of the church, which in many ways is antithetical to the Constitution. One way in particular that it's antithetical to the Constitution, canon law says that a woman has no right to control the workings of her body. But the Constitution says she has a right to choose. You goddamned idiot. I've never heard Jeanine Pirro deliver a jeremiad against Orthodox Jews who keep Torah law, but it too is antithetical to the Constitution in some ways. No, she's just driven half mad, okay, more than half, by the presence of a Muslim woman because she hates Muslims. She literally is an Islamophobe. She has a phobia over Islam. And no, it's not prayer meeting Wednesday, and yes, we're almost at the end of the program. And the fact of the matter is, I'm irreligious, and I've made myself clear on this point on a number of occasions. I think if you've got a religion that says your God is concerned with what kind of headgear you wear, there's a pretty good chance that it's not real. You know, if God will pinch your little head off and flick it into hell because you're not wearing the headgear, that ain't much of a God to be worshiping. And so while I feel that way, I absolutely support Ilhan Omar's right to wear whatever headgear she chooses into Congress. I think it'll be a great day when we elect a member of Congress from somewhere who will proudly walk into the well of the House with a fucking colander on his head, or hers, because that person is an adherent of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, which is absolutely as valid as any other religion on earth. You know, the Bible is the proof of the existence of God. The Quran is the proof of the existence of Allah. Well, by that logic, a Spider-Man comic book is the proof of the existence of Spider-Man. It just is. So let's get out of here. Prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow, just a regular fundraising goal. What an amazing thing happened this evening. I cannot thank you all enough. I know, Darlene in Connecticut is as stunned as I am. Pirro is now advising Democrats? Tell her to go pound sand. That's like the wolf advising the hens on how to barricade the hen house against, well, you know, wolves. And I hate to insult wolves by comparing them to Jeanine Pirro. And with regard to canon law, Scott says, then there's canon, C-A-N-N-O-N law. If you don't buy into the nonsense, William Conrad will sit on you until you do. Ooh, that's a deep reference. I think you have to be at least 50 to get that one. You must be at least 50 to get this joke. Canon. I liked him better as Nero Wolf myself. But, you know, I'm weird that way. So we're at the end of the program. Again, thank you, everybody, for helping to knock down the fundraising goal. Thanks for the challenges, and thanks for the responses. We'll be back with prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. The deacons are happy. And we'll see what kind of madness we've got for that then. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Remember, if you're listening maybe in the podcast and you'd like to be a subscriber, tomorrow the 13th is the perfect day to become a subscriber because Greg has now joined with Gary and Gaia, so it's not quite so lonely on the 13th. And if we had a few, it'd be a downright party if there were five or six more. Okay? And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this ongoing conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky earlier this evening. Thank you to Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years leading the struggle for environmental justice and human rights against mountaintop removal in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.